Играется.
Today's Amud is Yumun Nun Gimel Amabez. We're holding on the second line, on Nun Gimel Amabez, by the last word of the line. So says the Gemara, Amr Rav Chasandri, Amr Rav Yeshua ben Levi, he said in the name of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, that HaMispalol Tzarech Shiafsiya Shalish Psiya Yisla Acharav. That when a person daven Shemana Esrei, when he finishes Shemana Esrei, so afterwards he takes 3 steps back. And the reason why this comes into our Gemara right now is because we just mentioned the Kohen Gadol taking his steps back after when he leaves the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So too a person when he finishes his Shemina Esrei, so to speak, he leaves the Shechina. So he takes 3 steps backwards. So he takes 3 steps backwards. That's the din. V'achar kach yitein shalom. And afterwards, after he completes the 3 steps back, so then he gives shalom. He says, Aisha shalom imraimav. Right, we shouldn't point out that some made the mistake in thinking that when the Gemara says, it means that the person takes his 3 steps back, then afterwards he says, shalom to my right, shalom to my left. Literally, he says he gives shalom. But the Rishonim explained that's not what it means. What it means is he says, Aisa shalom b'mayimav, u'brachmav, or who yasa shalom aleinu, and then there's, and that's what he says. So says the Gemara, Amar Le Rav Mordechai, Rav Mordechai says, that Kevin Shapasa Shalish Psiyas La'achayrav, Hasam Yibayle Lameikam, another halacha. So the first halacha is that he takes 3 steps back and he gives shalom. Says Rav Mordechai, another halacha, that after he takes the 3 steps back, when he's standing in the place 3 steps back away from where he davened Shemana Esrei, so Hasam Yibayle Lameikam. So there's a halacha that many people, for whatever reason, don't necessarily realize, that there's a halacha that a person's supposed to stay in his place. That after he takes his 3 steps back, so there's a halacha he's supposed to stay in place. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us for how long, but the Shulchan Aruch brings it, Machlokes Rishayim, he brings the Beis Yosef, and Shulchan Aruch, and Siman Kuf Chaf Gimel, he says that l'chadchila, a person's supposed to stay in his place where he takes his 3 steps back until the Chazan starts Kedusha. At least by Shachar Semincha, he waits there until the Chazan starts Kedusha. Only once the Chazan starts Kedusha, that's when he goes back and he takes 3 steps forwards. By Meiriv, where there's no Kedusha, so I saw an Alicha Shlomo, Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that a person should wait until the Chazan starts Kaddish. But the person's not supposed to really take his 3 steps right away. Take 3 steps forward. Adrabba says the Gemara, Mashal Talmud Hanifta Mirabbi, that a person taking 3 steps forward right away without waiting is comparable to a Talmud that leaves his Rebbe. Just like a person after Shemana Esrei is leaving the Shechina, so he's compared to a person that's like a Talmud that's leaving from his Rebbe. Then im chayzer la'alter, after the Talmud leaves, he right away goes back into the Rebbe, so he's daimel lekelef sheshav al keyoy. He's daimel to a dog that returns to its throw-up. Which the Beis Yosef explains, the mashal, that a dog throws up, so it's understandable, you know, sometimes a person has to throw up. His system didn't need that food in his system, so the dog knew to throw up. But when the dog then goes ahead and it eats its own throw up, so then that shows that it didn't throw up because it didn't need it, because now the dog is going ahead and going and eating what it threw up. So that means it didn't not need that food. So why did it throw up? Stomach threw up for no good reason. It just did something without the cheshbon. So too a person who leaves his Rebbe, so he leaves his Rebbe, if he takes his 3 steps back, it shows that he's ready to leave. But if he goes back in right away, so then it shows that he wasn't leaving. So what was he doing? He was just moving around for no good reason. So that's what it means. He's daimel lekelef sheshav al keyoy, so too a person after Shemana Esrei. So if he takes his 3 steps back, and he stays there, so he shows that he was going away. But if he right away goes forward again, so then why did he step back? So he was just doing things, moving around. So that's what it means. He's daimet kelev sheshav al keyoy. Says the Gemara Vayter, Tani Nami Hachi, we learned in the Braisa like this as well, this din of taking 3 steps back, that HaMispalo Tzarech Shiafsiya Shalish Psiya Yisla Acharav, that a person, after he finishes Shemana Esrei, so he has to take 3 steps backwards. V'achar kach yitein shalom. And afterwards, the Mishnah Brura highlights this a lot, that it's a person not supposed to bow and say Oysa Shalom while he's taking the 3 steps back. It's V'achar kach yitein shalom. It's only after he gets back 3 steps, that's when he starts turning to the left and to the right and saying Aisa Shalom B'Maimav. But that's the lesson of the Brice here. That V'achar kach yitein shalom. And afterwards, after he takes the 3 steps back, so then he's yitein shalom. V'mlay asa kein. And if he doesn't do this, if he deviates from any of the things that we've mentioned that he's supposed to do, so says the Gemara, Roy loy shalay hispalel. It would have been better if he didn't daven, which sounds very extreme. I saw Rav Zundel Kreiser in Arachama, so he explains this statement based on an idea that many of us know from Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. Rav Chaim famously was mechadish that although when it comes to the kavana, understanding the pirush hamilim of Shmoneh Esrei, so only the first bracha is makif, a person only has to understand the first bracha, still there's a kavana that's makif the entire Shmoneh Esrei. There's a kavana that the person has to always know that he's standing in front of the Shechina. That's ma'akiv the entire Shmoneh Esrei. Without that, it's not considered a tefillah b'chlal. If you don't realize that you're standing in front of the Shechina, so then stam, it's not a tefillah. So said Rav Zundel Kreuzer, that's the pshat in this Gemara. If a person isn't to properly take his three steps back and do what he's supposed to do, so then it shows he doesn't really realize that he's standing in front of the Shechina. And if he doesn't realize he's standing in front of the Shechina, then his whole Shmoneh Esrei wasn't a Shmoneh Esrei anyways. So that's what it means. If he doesn't keep these halachos properly, so then it would have been better if he didn't daven, because obviously he doesn't realize he's standing in front of the Shechina, in which case his Shmoneh Esrei is not considered a Shmoneh Esrei. So stam, it's brachos that are not made properly. So taka would have been better that he didn't daven. That's how he explains. So as the Gemara Vayter, Mishum Shmaya Amru, Shenayisin Shalom Liyamin, Va'achakach L'smol. That when we said Yitain Shalom, you're supposed to first give Shalom to the right, and then give Shalom to the left. Why Dafka to the right first? And then, as the Pasuk says, Mimina Eish Das Lamayin. The Pasuk says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu gave the Torah with his right hand, so presumably that's because the right hand is more chashuv, Rashi explains. So therefore, a person is supposed to give Shalom to the right first. Va'aymer, in another Makar, the Pasuk says, Yipo Mitzidcha Elef, Urevava Miminecha. It says that from the right, 10,000 mazikin shadim should fall, and from the other side, Yipo Mitzidcha, the left side, is Elef, is 1,000. So you see, the right side has more, the right side's more chashuv. Says the Gemara, Maiva Aymer, why did we feel a need to bring a second Makar? Says the Gemara, because you could have had a cash on the first pasuk. The chitema archa demil sahid lemesav biyamin. Maybe you'll say the fact that the Torah, that Hashem gave us the Torah with His right hand, is not a raya that the right's more chashuv. Maybe it's just orcha demil. So that's just the normal way a person gives something. Normally, when a person gives something to someone else, he uses his right hand, not because it's more chashuv. It's just practically the easier hand to use. So therefore, tashema ipo mitzidcha alef revava miminecha. Therefore, we brought the second pasuk to show that no, the right side's taka more chashuv, and that's why there's 10,000 on the right side and only 1,000 on the left side. Says the Gemara, Rav Chazi la Abaye diyahiv shalma liyamine bereisha. He saw Abaye that when he took his three steps back, so he turned to his own right side first. So Amar Le, Rav said to Abaye, mi savris liyamin didach, you think it means to your right? No, lismol didach. When you turn, you're supposed to turn to your left first. Lismol didach kamina, it means you're supposed to turn to your left, the haviyamina ishala kadosh baruch hu, which if you're imagining the Shechina opposite you, so then your left is the right side of a kadosh baruch hu. That's what it means. You're supposed to bow first to the right side of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, meaning to your left. Amar v'chiyah b'reid ravuna, chazina lu labai v'rava. I saw Abai v'Rava de pasei luhu shalish p'shiyos b'kriya achas, that when they took the three steps back, they did so while bowing all within one bow, after they finished their Shmoneh Esrei, they bow forwards, and then as they're bowed in that bowed position, they take the three steps back. Which Amir Tzashem, and in this week and the next few weeks, we'll discuss these halachas in great detail in the Raisa la'alacha sheets and end of the week. So says the Gemara Vayter. We said at the Kohen Gadol, so after when he left the Kodesh HaKadoshim, what Rashi learns is in the Heichal, he would say a short tefillah. So says the Gemara, my mitzvah matzleh, what did he daven? What was the tefillah? What was the nusuch? Rav bar Rav Ada v'Ravim bar Rav Ada tarvayu mishmei de Rav Amri. They both said that he ratzom milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu. This is what the Kohen Gadol said. He said that it should be your will, Hashem, shetei shana zugeshuma v'shechuna, that it should be rainy and hot. In fact, the Gemara, Shechuna Mal Yusehi, it's a Milo that it should be hot. Hot will make everything get dried out. So says the Gemara, no, Ela Eima Im Shechuna Tehei Geshuma, that he would daven that if it's a very hot year, if it's an exceedingly hot year, so then there should be extra rain to make up for it. Rav Acha Brei de Rava Mesayim Ba Mishmei de Rav Yehuda, he said that the tefillah ended off, in the name of Rav Yehuda, he said that the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol ended off, that La Ya'adi Avid Shulta Midabes Yehuda, which is really a paraphrasing a lashon of a pasuk of Layavar Shevet Yehuda, Layavar Mishevet Yehuda, that Layadi Avet Shulta Midabes Yehuda, that there shouldn't be a leaders that stop coming from Shevet Yehuda. He said it in Aramaic. I saw someone, the Pardes Yosef says B'shem the Goin, that he said it in Aramaic because you're not allowed to say a pasuk Baal Peh, and he didn't have a chumash with him, so therefore he said the pasuk Dafka in Aramaic. Meaning, even though really Aramaic is a kasha. Normally, the Gemara in Shabbos Yud Beis Amabeis says that we don't daven in Aramaic because the Malachim don't understand Aramaic, so they can't carry the tefillah to Kadosh Baruch Hu because they don't understand it. So why would the Kohen Gadol daven on Yom Kippur in Aramaic? So that's what he brings from the Goyin, that because he couldn't say it in Lashon HaKodesh. So the Shagas Arias is a different teretz. He says the Gemara in Shabbos over there, Gufa, says that by a chayla, a person's able to daven in Aramaic because the Shechin is right there. So too here in Yom Kippur, when the Kohen Gadol is davening his tefillah right outside the Kodesh HaKodashim, so he's in the base of Mikdash, he's able to say that a tefillah even in Aramaic because he doesn't need to come onto the Malachim. He's mamish in front of the Shechinah, so therefore he's able to daven even in Aramaic. Baal Kapanim, so he says that the tefillah ended off the Layaadi Avet Shultim the base Yehuda, that ruler shouldn't stop coming from Shevet Yehuda. And Klai Yisrael shouldn't need to get parnasa this one from the other. Everyone should have what they need. And when people are traveling on the roads and the rain is bothering them and they're going to daven and it should stop raining, so you shouldn't listen to them. The tefillas of those of the Oivei Drachim shouldn't come before you. That was the Kohen Gadol's tefillah. I think I had a chance to look in Amitz Kayach, but in Atta Kenanta, I believe it does say more tefillas that the Kohen Gadol would say. Anyway, says the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, have a ka'azah ba'archa. We said that the Kohen Gadol daven that the tefillas ivory drachim shouldn't go in front of Hashem. Well, says the Gemara, Ma'isa, that Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa was once traveling on the road, and shada mitra alei, and it started to rain down on him. So Amar, so Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, he said, he daven to Hashem, he said, Ribbono shel olam, kol olam kulei ben achas, the whole world is enjoying themselves right now. It's raining. They have fields, and their fields are getting watered. V'chanina b'tzar, but I'm traveling here, and I'm in tzar. So pasach mitra. So Hashem listened, and the rain stopped. Ki asa lebeisei, when he got to his house, so Amar v'chanina ben Daisa said, Ribbono shel olam, kol olam kulo b'tzar. Everyone else is b'tzar. V'chanina b'nachas, and me, I'm now having a good time because I don't have any fields anyways. I'm home. There's nothing is bothering me, but everyone else is b'tzar because they need the rain. And then asa mitra, it started to rain. Which the Marsha deals with how Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa can daven for it to stop raining, seemingly for very selfish reasons. If everyone else needs the rain, so why would he daven for it to stop raining? I ain't shaman the Marsha. But says the Gemara comments that Amr Rabbi Yosef, Maya Hani Le Tzalusi the Kohen Gadol Lugabe Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa. You see from here that the Kohen Gadol's tefillah stood no chance in front of Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa. Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, the Kohen Gadol davened that Hashem shouldn't listen to the tefillah of the Ivrei Drachim, and here we see Rabbi Chanina ben Daisa, when he was traveling on the road, his tefillah was answered over the Kohen Gadol's tefillah. Says the Gemara Vayter, Tanra Abanan, we said that the Kohen Gadol was supposed to dafka daven short. He wasn't supposed to be mayrich, so not to scare people. Tanra Abanan, Maisa b'Kohen Gadol echad sheherich b'tefilasei. And obviously, as you can imagine, there was that Kohen Gadol who misbehaved, and he was mayrich in his tefillah. V'nimnu echav akehanim likanis acharav. So the other kehanim, they were deciding what to do. They weren't sure what was happening. Is the Kohen Gadol still alive? Maybe he tried doing like the tzedukim, and therefore he was punished, and he was killed. The Marsha explained. So they were very unsure what to assume over here. So should they go in? Maybe they should go get him. So they decided they're going to go in. He's probably not alive anymore. So they started to go in. And as they were starting to go in, the Kohen Gadol came out. So Amrulai, they said to the Kohen Gadol, what's the pshat? Why were you mayrich? So Amr Lahem, so the Kohen Gadol said to them, you're upset at me for being mayrich. Kasha beinechem shespalalti aleichem. You don't like the fact that I davened for you. It's hard for you. It's schwer for you. The fact that I spent some time davening for you, even on the base of Mikdash, that it shouldn't be destroyed. I was davening for good things. So Amrulai, they said, still, even though you were davening for good things, you still shouldn't be, because you shouldn't become ragel to do this. Shari Shaninu, the Mishnah says, that the Kohen Gadol was dafka, not mayrich in his tefillah, kidei shalei lahavis as Yisrael, in order not to scare Klal Yisrael, because they're going to think that he's not alive, so therefore they said that even though it's understandable what you did, l'maisa, you shouldn't do it. It's interesting that they said, Sharei Shaninu, they learned in the Mishnah, the Mishnais were written, l'chaira, only afterwards, so It's interesting that what Mishnah, it seems like they had maybe some Mishnayos that were maybe written already, or at least said over. Akopanim says the Mishnah Vayter, Mishanitol Arayin, Eben Haisa Sham. So now again, so we mentioned in the previous Mishnah that the Kohen Gadol, when he went Lefnai V'Lefnim, so we said that he would put down the Machta, the shovel, with the Gechalim, Bein Habadim, between the poles of the Arayin. So says the Mishnah that Mishanitol Arayin, when the Arayin was taken away in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. So Evan Haisa Shami Mais Nevi'im Rishonim. So you should know that there was always a stone over there underneath the Arayin. Now there was no Arayin, but it was already there underneath the Makom Arayin. There was a stone over there that was always there from the times of the Nevi'im Rishonim, from the times of David HaMelech and Shmuel HaNavi, Mamish from early times. It was Shasiya Haisa Nikres, and it was called Shasiya. Gavaya Mina Arayin Shalosh Etzba'is. It was three Etzba'is above the ground. That's how tall it was. Valeha Hayanaisin. And it was on this stone that the Kohen Gadol would put the Machta, the Shavu, with the Gechalim. When there was no Arayin in the second base of Mikdash, so we said that he put it in the Makom, Bein Abadim, that Makom meant on this, it was on top of this, it was on top of this stone. And the Gemara is going to go through the details of all the things in our Mishnah, but we'll just read the Mishnah for now. It says, the Mishnah, Natol Asadam, the Kohen Gadol would then, after he was makter the Keteres, he would leave, he would go get the dam of the par that he shechted, Mimishaya Memaris Bay, from the person who was stirring the dam so that it wouldn't congeal. Nichnas L'makim Shenichnas, he would go back to the place that he went into, Va'amad B'makim Sh'amad, and stand exactly where he was before, V'hiza Mimenu Achas L'malo V'shev L'mata, and he would sprinkle from the dam of the par towards the kapayras one time upwards and seven times downwards. V'loy hayim mischavin lahazlis, but he wasn't intentionally trying to be mazal leila malav leila mata, not on the top half of the kapayras or on the bottom half of the kapayras. I mean, even though we said it was one time lemayla shavu lamata, that doesn't mean mamish that he was supposed to get it on the top half of the kapayras and on the bottom half. It just means that the direction of his sprinkle was one time upwards and seven times downwards. He was like a person who, like when the, in Bezdin, when they give Malkus, so they don't give it, they don't give them the each whip to, at an exact place. It, the whips are somewhere off. It's not an exact location. So to here, when he was sprinkling the dam, he wasn't trying to sprinkle it at an exact place. He was just sprinkling it one time in an upwards direction and seven times downwards. V'kachaya mainem. And as he sprinkled, he counted, and he would say as follows, achas. He would sprinkle one time upwards, and he would say achas. And then he would do the first time downwards, and he would say achas v'achas, one and one. And then he would do a second time downwards, achas v'shtayim, achas v'shalosh, achas v'arba, achas v'chamesh, achas v'shesh, v'achas, achas v'sheva. Yotza, he would leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim, v'nichay al kan hazov shebeheichal. And he would take now this kli with the dam of the par, it still had some more dam in it, and he would put it down on a golden stand that was inside the heichal. Heviu layas a sa'ir, and then they would bring him the sa'ir. The sa'ir was still in the place where they did the geiralis in the mizrach of the azara, and they would bring it to the kohen gadol in the same place where he shechted the par, which is bein ulam v'la mizbeach, meaning near like the northwestern corner of the mizbeach. So the kohen gadol would leave the heichal completely. He left the kodesh hakodashim, put the dam of the par by the golden stand that was in the heichal, and then he would leave the heichal and go to the northwestern near the north. Western corner of the Mizbeach, and they would bring him the sire. Shachtu, that's the way the Tesis Yantif is Mazber the Mishnah. Shachtu v'kibu b'mizrak, he would shacht the sire, and he would catch the dam in a bowl. The Mishnah here doesn't mention the fact that he had someone else finish off the Shechita, but if you look in Ata Kainanta, so there it's Mavur that all the Shechitas, that's how it happened. Even though the Gemara only mentioned it, the Mishnah only mentioned it by the Karban Tamid, but that's how all the Shechita Sayyim were done like this, that someone else finished the Shechita. It could be in Amitz Kayach, it says like that as well. I just didn't get a chance to check. But it says the Mishnah, Shachtu v'kibo b'mizrak, he would shacht it, meaning roiva the simanim, someone else would finish it, and the Kohen Gadol would catch the dam b'mizrak in a bowl. V'kibo b'mizrak as dama, he would catch the dam of the sayer in the bowl. Nichnas amakim shenichnas, again, he would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim the way he went in, v'amad b'makim sh'amad, and he would stand in the place that he stood, v'hiza mimenu, and he would sprinkle from this time the dam of the sayer, achas l'mala v'shev l'mata, again, one time upwards, seven times downwards, v'kachayamayna, achas, achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim. Mitzrayim v'chulu, etc. The same way as before. Yatzeh, he would leave the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the kli, with the bowl of the dam of the Sayer, v'nichu al kana zav asheni shabahechal, and he would put it on a different golden stand that was in the Hechal. Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, that lo hayosham al kan echad. Rabbi Yehuda says that there was only one stand, lo yikad echad bilvad, it was just one stand, so now he was holding the dam of the Sayer, what he would do is natal dam apar, he would first remove the dam of the par from the stand, v'nich dam asayer, and he would put down the dam of the Sayer. Either way, now he has the dam of the par in his hand. V'hiza mimenu ala pareichas, and he would sprinkle the dam of the par towards the pareichas shekeneged ha'arin, the place of the pareichas which was neged ha'arin, bein abadim, so the middle section of the pareichas. He would sprinkle on the pareichas, or at least towards the pareichas, v'bachutz, from outside, from in the heichal, achas amalo v'shev lamata. He would sprinkle towards the pareichas one time upwards and seven times downwards. V'loy hayim eschavin, and again, he wasn't trying to get the top half and the bottom half. It was just kematzla v'kachay amayna v'chulu. Everything like before. I saw an interesting in Mishmar Alevi. So he brings Rav Scholzinger that Akasha, that we mentioned that in the second Beis HaMikdash there was two pareiches, because we weren't sure that area of the between the two pareiches, if it was considered the Heichal or it was considered the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So that means really, in essence, we're not sure, is the inner pareiches considered the pareiches, so to speak, which separates the Heichal from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, or the outer pareiches. So he asks, now which pareiches did they sprinkle the Dam of the Parin? By this sprinkle, the Hazaz that was in the Heichal, we'll see soon that they did it with the Sayer as well, but the Kohen Gadol sprinkled the dam of the Sayer like this as well. So, but on which pareches did he sprinkle it on? Did he sprinkle it dafka on the inner pareches or on the outer pareches? And he brings that a certain yid in London once bumped into the Brisker Rav, and he asked the Brisker Rav the Shaila, and the Brisker Rav said he didn't have any raya, he didn't know if the Kohen Gadol would sprinkle the dam on the outer pareches or on the inner pareches. Definitely from the Stimus HaMishnah, it seems like it was the outer pareches, but the kasha is that maybe the inner pareches is really the pareches, and the outer pareches is just the stama, a curtain that's in the middle of the Heichal. So it's interesting to know, it doesn't seem like anyone was aimed on this. But says the Mishnah Vayter, that Natal Dama Sayer, so again, after now he sprinkled the Dama of the Par on the Pareches, so Natal Dama Sayer, he would then take the Dama of the Sayer, V'niach Dama Par, and he would put down the Dama of the Par, V'hiza Mimenu Ala Pareches, Shekeneged Aron Mibachotz, and he did the same thing with the Dama of the Sayer, he sprinkled it on the Pareches, Keneged Aron Mibachotz. I forgot to mention, so that there are shitas that say that he never actually sprinkled the Dama on the actual pareches. It was just towards the pareches. And it was really all the dam landed on the floor. So then there would be no kasha. Because then if all the dam is landing on the floor anyways, so then he's technically doing it towards both pareches, and it's just landing on the floor. But the shaila is only if you hold that the dam is supposed to land on the pareches, so then it's the shaila. Then which pareches was he trying to land the dam onto? Kapanim says the Mishnah Vayter. So he would sprinkle the dam of the Sayer on the Pareches Shekeneged Aron Mibachotz, Achas Amalav Shevel Lamata, again one time upwards and seven times downwards, and then Eira Dama Par L'Toich Dama Sayer, he would then pour the dam of the Par into the Kli with the dam of the Sayer. So now the Kli with the dam of the Sayer had all the dam in it, and the Kli that had the dam of the Par was now empty. V'Nasan Asamali Bereikon, and then he would pour the entire Kli that has the dam of the Sayer and the dam of the Par, and he would pour that into the Par Kli, and in order to get it to mix very well, and the Mirz Hashem next week we'll go weiter.